Om Shanti, Namaste, a warm welcome to all of you. And we will be starting our next session. We have been discussing about God realization in our last session, and we took a lot many concepts. We just heard and we discussed lot many things about that, who God is and what is the real form of God. So just have a recap of what all we heard. So we just discussed that there are five standards, and based on those five standards, we can identify or we can recognize who God is. And based on those five standards, we shall be now taking all the different belief systems that we have in our world. For example, the first belief system that we are having, one of them is that nature is God. Nowadays everyone is worshipping, most of the people, they worship nature as God. We are worshipping trees, we are worshipping sun, we are worshipping water, rivers, fire, animals, and so many other things. And because we believe that nature is something that is continuously giving us, nature is the one who has always helped human beings. So this basic quality of the God to give every time, because God is the one who is always bestowing us with happiness, and nature has given us a lot. So we always feel that trees have given us shade, trees give us fruits, and we survive because of trees, we get oxygen out of it. And then there is sun, because when sun is there, our life is possible. Without sun, we can't even imagine our life. And water, rivers, it is because of the river that we are surviving now, and fire and the animals. So all these things are giving us something or the other. So based on this concept, we are considering nature as God. But we have to see, we have to look upon this, that nature is actually God's creation. It is not God. There has to be a difference. For example, if you have a painter in front of you and you have a painting and you admire the beauty of the painting, you see the painting is so beautiful, the colors are so beautiful, and the painting is so attractive, and you are able to connect with that painting, then you will admire the work of the painter. You won't say that painting is the painter. So painter is different, a painting is different. Similarly, the nature is God's creation, but it's not God. But there are so many qualities, because when God created nature, the nature was at its highest elevated stage. But now we have even deteriorated the nature. We have cut off all the trees. The sun is giving so much of light and energy. So much of heat is getting onto the earth. So much of rays are getting onto the earth. And the sun rays are nowadays becoming so intolerable, and we are not able to, you know, sustain those rays, and those rays are directly coming. So we feel lot of heat from sun. And when it comes to rivers and water, the water is polluted nowadays, the air is polluted. Even the fire, we feel the fire is creating problems. We are having lot of our forests being burned. Now animals are also not happy with us. So there, all these elements of nature, all these five elements of the nature are also getting deteriorated just because of us. So this creation of God is nowadays at its highest deteriorated stage. So we can't say that nature is God, but nature is God's creation. And then there is the next concept that we were taking and we were discussing, that this another belief system, that we always say deities are God. Those deities like Vishnuji, Shankarji, Deviji, then we have Ganeshji and Hanumanji. So we always used to say all these are forms of God. And in Hindu religion, we are believing that there are 33 crores deities in Hindu religion, and each one is actually a form of God. So I just remember a very beautiful story. Once there was a beggar, and that beggar was wandering here and there, and he was not getting anything. So he went to into a kingdom one day. He just saw that everyone whoever was there in the kingdom, that person was complete in itself, that person was self-sufficient, that person was having everything. So he asked them that what exactly is the reason that you are so self-sufficient, you have everything with you, who gave you all this? Then those people, they just told him that our king is very kind. So if you will go to the king and ask him, he will definitely give you so much and you will yourself be self-sufficient. Then the beggar was really impressed with this idea and he just went on to the king's palace. And when he was just about to enter, he was stopped by the guards there. And the guard said, the king is right now having his puja, his prayers. So he's remembering God right now. He's worshipping God. So it's not allowed to enter. There was a lot of inquisitiveness inside the beggar to know that whom the king is worshipping. So he hid himself just behind the temple and he was peeking inside to see what is happening. Then he saw the king at the end of his prayers. He just said that, oh God, please just keep giving me whatever you were giving me. Just keep filling my apron with lot of wealth and lot of happiness and just keep giving me so that I can give all those things to others. I can actually make all my praja, all my subjects happy. So just keep giving me. So in that way, he was praying to the God that whatever you are giving me, just keep giving all those things. So the beggar was very smart and he just thought that if the God is the one who is giving the king everything, then why shouldn't I ask God to give me? Why should I go to king and ask him rather to give me something? So he just peeked at whom the king was worshipping. King was worshipping Lord Hanuman. So he went to a Hanuman's temple. And when he went to Hanumanji's temple, there was a portrait over there, there was a picture over there where Hanumanji was sitting just beneath in the feet of Sri Rama. And when he saw that he was sitting in the feet of Rama, there was a pandit over there and he said that whatever Hanuman has right now, he has got everything from Sri Ramji. And all the bhakt, all the devotees of Sri Ram are self-sufficient just because Sri Ramji is the one who gives everything to everyone. And he makes all his bhakt, all his devotees happy. So beggar was again convinced and confused also. Then he thought, why should I remember Hanuman? I should go to a Ram's temple and I should ask everything from Sri Ram. And then Sri Ram would give me everything. Then he went to another temple of Sri Ram. And there he saw another portrait, another picture of Sri Ram, where Sri Ram was worshipping God Shiva. Now he was putting water on God Shiva, and there was this picture where he was sitting in front of a Shivling. And then he got the idea, it is God Shiva who is even above Lord Sri Ram, and he is getting everything from God Shiva. Now, this beggar was, you know, again so smart, and he then thought that God Shiva is the one who is giving Lord Rama. So whatever Lord Rama is having, he is keeping something with him, and then rest of the things he will be giving to his devotees. And then when Hanumanji would be getting something from Sri Ram, he would be keeping something for him, and then Lord Rama will be distributing something, rest of the other things, to his devotees. And then Hanumanji will be keeping something for him and distributing rest of the others to his devotees. And similarly, the king will be getting something for him and keeping something for him and then distributing rest of the other things to his subjects. So in this process of vaya, we are getting a very small piece of what exactly we deserve, what really we deserve and what we really want to should get from God. So the beggar was so smart, he said, why do I have to go through this process of vaya? I should directly connect to the one who is the highest of high, who is above all these deities, who is the head of all these deities. So God Shiva is the one. So he started remembering God Shiva, and that's how he would get everything. So we are nowadays, based on this story, we are nowadays engaged in worshipping this one or that one, that deity sometimes. From Monday to Sunday, we are having our deities fixed, whom we should remember, and then we are fasting, and then we are going and visiting various temples. So all these are officers of God, who's working for God, but they are not God. they are actually the one who also remember that God Shiva, and they get power from him. So we should actually think about it, because God Shiva is above all these deities. So now we saw that God Shiva is even above Shri Ram, is even above Shri Krishna, he is even above Shankar, and he is even above all the Shiv Shakti, Devi Durga, and Devi Vaishno, Devi Kali, Devi Saraswati. So all the main entity whom even these deities worship, that entity is God Shiva, that entity is God, whom they all remember, the Supreme Father. And they always remember the Jyotirlingam, the point of light form of God. Then we are having lot of temples built, lot of temples have been built in the name of God Shiva. We are having from north to south and from east to west, 12 Jyotirlingam, 12 Jyotirlingams are being built. The 12 Jyotirlingams are built, and some of them are Amarnath, Pashupatinath, then Somnath, then we are having Vishwanath, Kedarnath. So all these temples are named just because of the qualities of God Shiva. So what qualities does God Shiva have? A lot of qualities he is having. He is the one who gives the nectar of knowledge. He is the one who makes the soul realize that soul is the ultimate one. The soul is the real one who never dies. The soul is always Amar. Soul is immortal. So that's how he is Amarnath. Soul is the one, God is the one who is real Pashupatinath, the one who is even father of all the animals, the father of, the father who gives us liberation. And then he is the one who gives us this nectar, the somras of knowledge. So he is Somnath. And similarly, there are a lot of other names as Ishwar. We have Nageshwar, Vishweshwar, Papkateshwar. So he is considered as the ultimate Ishwar, the ultimate God, the ultimate Bhagwan, whom we all should remember. And when you go to these temples of Lord Shiva, of God Shiva, all wherever in India, when you visit them, you will always see just a shivling there. There is no other idol sitting there. There is no other deity or any other form. It is just the Jyotirlingam. It is only just the point of light, the light form, the Prakash Roop of God, which is worshipped. Then we are having all the preceptors, all the religious leaders talk about God, and they worship in the light form. This we have already discussed. And so now there was another concept, another thing that we heard in our last session, that some people believe that Atma is Paramatma. So is Atma Paramatma? So when we go to visit a temple, we see that we say in front of God, "Oh God, you are my mother, you are my father, and I am your child. We all are your children." So we always say that. We never say that you are God and I am God. Atma so Paramatma. No. We always bow in front of God. As you are seeing in front of you, in your screens, there is Arjun and there is Shri Krishna. So Arjun is the one who is getting the knowledge, who is getting the knowledge of Gita, and he is right now sitting beneath Lord Krishna, and he is bowing in front of Lord Krishna. So who is giving knowledge to whom? Is the God giving knowledge to God? If Atma is Paramatma, is Arjun also the God? So why God is giving knowledge to God? So these are some new things that we always should look upon. We always should think about it. See, God is not a degree. God is not a post or position that we can acquire or we can actually make effort to achieve. No, we can't achieve God's position. God is God. There is nothing like a soul becoming a God or doing a purushartha to become a God. It is absolutely useless if we think in that manner, because God is one, and we always say Paramatma. We never say Paramatmae. We have got Devatmai, we have got lot of deities, we have got Dharampitai, we have got lot of preceptors and religious leaders, we have got lot of Punya Atmai, we have got lot of donators, the one who do good deeds. we have got lot of papatmai, the one who always do law, wrong things in life, and the sin makers are there. There are lot of other souls who, according to their task, according to their occupation, we can divide them. But when it comes to God, we always say God is Paramatma, He is one. So that one God is being remembered by all the rest of the souls. All the rest of the souls of the world, they all look upon to God. So He is not a position. Just keep that in mind. There is no one who can become like God. There is no comparison between soul and God. Now, there is another concept that when we talk about Atma so Paramatma, some people say that soul is actually God's ansh, a fraction of God. No, soul is not a fraction of God. We believe that there was a day when Sagar from the ocean, a bubble came out, and one day the bubble has to go and mix in back into the ocean. But it's not like that. That was a matter. The Sagar, the ocean is matter. The bubble is a matter. So matter can go and get merged into matter. That is not an issue. That is something which is very common. It is not something that is a concept. It is not a law. But when we talk about soul getting merged into the God, how can soul lose its identity? Soul has got a unique identity. Soul is not a fraction, and God is not something who just broke up one day and a lot many fractions were made, and each and every fraction now is being distributed in the whole world, and we all are doing different things in the world. So how can we see ourselves as God? If we all are fraction of God, if we everyone is fraction of God, then all of us should do one single task of helping each other. We all should make this world a better place to live. This world would have been a heaven. This world would have been a just like, you know, a paradise. There wouldn't have been so much of sorrows. There wouldn't have been so much of grief and pain. And there wouldn't have been so much of deterioration. Why there is so much of grief, so much of pain, so much of suffering in this world? Because we all are unique souls, and it is because of our karma, the soul's karma, that we are nowadays doing bad karma. So those karma, according to those karma, the soul is getting all the results, the return. And so soul is unique and God is unique. So soul is actually God's family. Soul is not God. So we are not ansh of God, we are vansh of God, we are family of God. So this is the whole one big family, and we always say Vasudev Kutumbakam. That means there is one God and we are all souls, and we are all God's children, and we are one big family. The whole world is a family. So we are all one big family. And soul and God, there is no comparison. Matter mixes into the matter, but soul would never go and mix into God and lose its identity. Soul is always going to be there. You are always going to be there. You will never lose your identity. Now, moving forward, now some people say that Brahma is Ishwar, Brahma is God. Now, what is Brahma? As we already talked about what Brahma is, there are several names that we call for Brahma. Brahma is an abode. It's a place to live. It is our home. It is not something that can be called God. You go and reside in your house, and your house is actually named because you are living there. You always say that I am the one who's living in that house. But you would never say that I am the house. So house is something different, and the owner is different. So we all souls reside in the Brahma. So there are a lot of names of Brahma. We call it the sixth element. We call it the Shanti Dham, the heavenly abode, the Satva Asman. Then the Mool Vatan, the Param Dham, Parlok. There are several names of a Brahma. So there are a lot of sages and holy men who believe that one day we are going to go Par Nirvan. We are going to go beyond the sound and the voice of this world, and then we will get ourselves merged into Brahm. None of them is going to get merged into the Brahm, because Brahm is home. We are just going to go and reside in Brahm. We will be staying in Brahm one day. We all have to go and reside in Brahm, and that is the place from where we all have come here. So Brahm is our home. It is not God. Then the another concept about God, is that God is everywhere. God is omnipresent. So that was also written in that column. So let us see, is God everywhere? And it is such a, this concept has gone so much inside us. It has affected us, and we are continuously saying that God is everywhere, God is everywhere. And still we are worshipping God. So now you see, you have a saint in front of you who is searching for God, who is roaming around everywhere and visiting so many places and trying to give the message of God to everyone. So if what he is actually searching, why he is searching for God, why he has left everything, why he is living a life of a recluse or a hermit and left everything and living and wandering around, whom is he searching? So if God is everywhere, why is he searching for God? Then we have another person who is a patient and who wants to get healed. A patient always says, who always remembers God. So when you fall ill and you go to the doctor, and if the suffering is so much, if the disease is a serious one, then even the doctor says that I can't do anything. You have to remember God. Only God can do magic. So now, from that time on, you just keep saying to God, you start praying to God. If God has been there inside you, then why, what is stopping God to act? Why the God is not curing you? Why have you fall even ill? Why did you fall ill? If God was there, he should have not made you ill. Then what is the reason? Why are we remembering him? Even if we are ill, if God is everywhere, why do we have to look upon at the top? We are remembering God and we are calling him, oh God, please listen to me. Then who is actually calling? Why do we need to be healed? Why are we remembering him that please heal me? Then there is another thing. Just as the fire spreads heat all around, can you experience God's qualities everywhere? You must have seen the coal. When you put coal into the fire, initially the coal is black, and when it is put into the fire, it changes its color. Similarly, when you put iron into the fire, it changes its color. It takes the form of the fire and you feel the heat out of it. When you go in front of the fire, you feel the heat of it. When you go in the front of the ocean or a river, you feel calmness, you feel the soothing, pleasant wave, you feel the cool waves of the water. Why? Even the five elements are able to make someone feel or make someone recognize that I am present there. The fire, if fire is burning somewhere, then you can feel the warmth and you can say that a fire is burning somewhere. When you feel the water, when you feel the cool waves, you feel that the water, either the rain is pouring or there is some water body in the neighborhood there is a water body. So you feel the presence of these five elements when they are there around you or surrounding you. Now if God is surrounding you, if God is everywhere, the God who is the Sarva Shaktiman, who is the almighty authority, has his power gone somewhere else? Has his power depleted that he is not able to prove himself, that he is not able to show his powers to us, and there is lot of grief in the world, lot of pain in the world? We always remember God, that God is the one who removes our pain. God is the one who removes our suffering. God is the one who blesses us with happiness. God is the one who gives us lot of bliss and lot of happiness. Then what has happened to that God who is present everywhere, who is present in every element, in every atom, God is present. So if God is present everywhere, then what has happened to that God? Why he is not making us feel peaceful? Why there is so much grief in the world? Why the world is deteriorating day by day? Why our values are deteriorating nowadays every day? nowadays, if each and every person, we can't trust people nowadays. Why don't you trust people? The God is residing in front of them, inside them. Then what exactly, where is the place of God? Similarly, there is another example. Can God be in both of them? You are seeing two persons. One is killing the other, another one. The murderer one, can you feel, can you see that person? And can you say that the God reside in that person? The other one who is being killed, can you say that person is having God inside him? So who is killing whom? Tell me. If God, is God killing God? So whom do you say is God? So there are a lot of incidents like these happening in the world. So God is not definitely present in both of them. Then where is God? When we have a natural fight in our house, for example, if your children are just having a small fight in between them, then the parents would always try to resolve the conflict. The parents would always interfere and they would always say, why are you fighting? They will give us a good lesson. The parents would always interfere. The parents would always come in the front and say, don't fight, it is not a good habit to fight. So that was just a small dispute between the siblings, which is very much natural. But the parents' responsibility is that they would always come and interfere, and they would always try to resolve the issues between the siblings. Now there are a lot of problems in the world, lot of sufferings in the world. We are fighting, we are just fighting with each other, we are struggling in our lives, we are killing each other, we are having lot of issues with each other, and there is no God who is our ultimate parent, and He is present everywhere and He is not interfering, He is not coming, not even from a single portion He is coming, and He is stopping us from doing all this. So where is God? Is God present in front of you? Is God in your bed? Is God in your chair? Is God in your table? Is God in your bathroom, bedroom, living room? If every place is having God, then where is God, and why can't God come in front of you and stop you from doing wrong things? Then there is another act you must have seen. So who's actually trying to rape whom? Is God trying to rape God? So these kind of things are happening in the world. A lot of these things are happening, but we don't see any act of God, that God just came in front of that lady and saved her. So there are no such things being recorded. So there are no such experiments being done, and no proof. There is no proof of this. Then we are having all the animals in front, and we believe that God resides in these animals. So there is one more thing that we would like to tell you. If I would say to you that your life is just like an animal, then you would feel bad about it, because you would say, sister is saying that my life has become like an animal. And what kind of animal? I haven't named that. And if I put a name of the animal to you, that you are this animal, you are like a monkey, or you are like a cat, or you are like a donkey, or you are like a dog, then you would feel so bad. But when we are using all these animals, we are saying God resides in all these animals. Aren't we blaming God? Aren't we defaming God? Aren't we giving derogatory remarks about God? This is such an insult of God when we are actually saying that God resides in animals. When we as human beings feel so bad if we are told that your life has become like an animal, and without even thinking about it, we are blaming God, we are defaming God, and we are saying that God resides in all the animals. So it is such a big insult of God. Please don't pass these kind of derogatory remarks of God. God is there. We know that God is there. God is our Father. We need to have a relation with Him. But to say that God resides everywhere. Yesterday I was cleaning my house, and when I cleaned my house, I threw away the waste out of my room. So if someone would come in front of me and say that God is there in my waste, then what should I do? Should I keep that waste in my puja ghar? And should I start worshipping that waste? That, so just think about this thing, that if God would have been in my waist, if God would have been everywhere, then where is God? Why is He not coming in front? So we have another thing we must have heard in Gita, that God has promised that yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharatah abhyutthanam adharmasya tadatmanam srijamyaham. So God has promised that one day He would come. Whenever there is going to be adharma, whenever there is going to be irreligious activities going on in the world, whenever there is going to be lot of sufferings, whenever there is going to be lot of sins happening in the world, everyone would have been involved in doing lot of bad activities, then I would come. That is God's promise. So if He is residing everywhere, from where is He going to come? So He has to be somewhere from where He would come. And we would always say that God one day would incarnate. God one day would come. So we always talk about God's avatar, incarnation. Then how is He going to incarnate if He is everywhere? From where He is going to incarnate? So this is a very big question mark on our own belief system. So where is God? Where is the abode of God? Where does He reside? So God's abode is again that Brahma Lok, the Nirakari Lok, the incorporeal world. God resides in Paramdham. So this is our home, this is God's home. So God is not omnipresent, but God is omnipotent. He is the Almighty. He is the supreme power. So there is a place where He resides. That place, the Lok that we discussed, the abode that we discussed, the Nirakari Lok, where all souls reside, God also resides there. And from there, He can see everything. He can watch us. He can give powers to us. But there is a time when He has to incarnate, when He would come on earth and give us this information, give us this knowledge and awaken us. Then we have got lot of relationships with God. A very beautiful thing to understand. What relation do I have with God? And do we have to have a relation with God? So exploring a relation, exploring something to get from God. When you have a relation, you will definitely get something from a relation. If you don't have a relation, you don't expect anything. And relations are something like you are always receiving something, because there is a give and take kind of a mutual understanding. So suppose when you visit your neighbors, you would always see them as separate from you, because you don't have a relation from them. You won't be remembering your neighbors, you won't be remembering the people or your employees, you won't be remembering them. But someone who is very close to you, even that person is sitting so far away from you, even if that person is sitting in America, you will be remembering that person because you have a very close relationship with that person. So relationship makes a difference. It makes us remember. If you have a servant in your house, and if you have a children in your house, if the servant is working in your house from a very long time, and a child is just born in your house, so whom would you be remembering every time? Would you be remembering your servant, or would you be remembering your child? Definitely your child, but the child has just born. Because a relationship has established, a new child has born, a soul has come who has direct connection with you. So that is the difference. In devotion, we have been remembering God, but there was no relation. We were just devotees and we were thinking that God is something whom we can't go to. The God is something whom we can't even feel, whom we can't even touch, whom we can't even experience. So we were actually having the thirst to meet God. So, but we were thinking ourselves as so beneath from God. But when a relationship is established with God, we feel connected with Him. We feel as if He is my parent, the one whom I can look upon. Now, what all relations I can have with God? We can have relationship of God being our father or God being our mother. From father and mother, God is our ultimate parent. As a father, he gives us so many things. As a father, he's responsible for us. As a father, we get education. We are getting a lot of information, lot of knowledge from God. As a father, he sustains us. As a mother, he's giving us love. So we can have that relationship with God. God is my father. God is my mother. Then another relationship that I can have is God being my teacher. So he is the one who gives me the real shiksha, the real the teachings, the real information. So God guides me what is right and what is wrong. God is the one who shows me the path, what I should follow. God is the one who can make my fortune. God is the one who can make my career, who can actually guide me what my destiny is. So God is my ultimate teacher. Then God is my companion. So as a companion, as a friend, I should remember God. So I always think yourself that as if God is in my company. So when you have God in your company, there is nothing that can hurt you. I can share with this companion whatever I have in my mind, whatever I have in my heart. Because he is the one who will never tell those things to anyone. We call God as Sat Chit Anand. Sat Chit Anand means the one who is so clean and clear from heart. So he's not going to have any opinions about you. Nowadays, if you will share something with someone, then those people are going to have some opinion about you, or they will think that you are such a mediocre kind of a person, or you have such bad intellect, or you have disrupted intellect or a corrupt intellect. But when you tell all your or whatever you have in your heart, whatever things you have filled in your heart, if you will be honest with God and you will tell everything to God, open your heart in front of God, he will accept you the way you are. He will never complain you. He will not create any images about you or not make any opinions about you. So that's the beauty of a companion. That's the beauty of a friend. Then God as a beloved. Nowadays we look upon to so many people and we are searching for a person who is right for me. We always search that who is the person whom I can look upon to for the rest of my life. Who is the person with whom I can spend rest of my life. So who is the person who can be my security, who can give me love for the rest of my life. So all these things, we have got a lot of expectations with the person whom we love and whom we would share our life with. So make God your beloved, make God your ultimate companion, your sergeant. Why? Because God is the one who will never betray you, who will never actually leave you. He's the one who will always stand for you. He's the one who will always support you. He's the one who will always go with you. So God being loved as beloved, there are several examples that we have shown. There are several things that there are many proofs in the world where people have looked God as the sergeant or as the beloved, and they have trusted God, and God has given so much of trust and returned so much of trust to them. So explore this relationship of God being my ultimate beloved. Then we have the relationship of God being my child. So yes, it is a very beautiful relationship. Nowadays when the child is being born, you have lot of expectations with your child. And when those children are, you know, when those children grow and they become young, then the expectations are suddenly, you know, gone, because you see your child having different mindset about you. Even nowadays the children throw the parents out of the house. So the expectations with your child are sometimes like, you know, it's like these are the desires that you have. These are the things that you have. When you give birth to a child, you feel your child is going to support you for the rest of your life. But it's not always true. But if you will make God your child, God will always pay tributes to you. God is always going to support you and be by your side for the rest of your life. Explore this relationship with God. Then God as a friend. you can enjoy the feeling of God as a friend, because God is my khuda dost. God is can be my brother, God can be my sister. If you don't have a brother or you don't have a friend or a sister, you can look upon to God and you can have that relationship. Because that relationship, you can share whatever you have in your mind. Then we have God as Satguru. The Satguru is the one who gives us salvation, who actually tells us what is the right way of living life. The Satguru is the one who guides us, who shows us the path, the right path. So God is my real Satguru. He is the one who can salvage me. He is the one who can liberate the soul. He is the one who can give mukti to the soul. So the Guru of all the Gurus is the God, is the Supreme Soul. So remember God as the Satguru. Make Him your Guru. So experience all these relationships with God. Now let us sit and concentrate for few minutes and let us have this beautiful experience. Okay, so let us bring our concentration and back in the center of the forehead. Just look at the point of light form. Think yourself, visualize a shining star just sitting and shining bright in the middle of the forehead. A wonderful, a brilliant soul. Point of light, conscious being, energy. I am pure consciousness. Very powerful. Peaceful and blissful. Radiating lot of happiness and light. I am a child and God is my father. Today I got the introduction of my Supreme Father. I have been thinking myself as the body and just looking upon the bodily relations, but now, as I know myself, I am not this body. I am the light, I am the soul and the spirit. I see my Father just like me. We both share the same home, the supreme abode, Paramdham. My Father is so beautiful, just like a magnet. I feel myself being pulled towards Him. I am such a fortunate soul. That He showed me His path. That He gave me this knowledge. he was coming to my door and knocking it. And now when I have opened it, I am holding God's hand. And happily following him wherever he's taking. He's teaching me as a teacher. He's guiding me as a father, nurturing me, sustaining me as a mother. He never leaves me, always supports me. He talks to me. He's the one whom I can depend on. He's my beloved. He's my companion. He's my true friend. I have got all these relations in just one Supreme Father. There is a lot of satisfaction now. Now, it's like I have got my destiny. He will be taking me to my destiny. He will be giving me salvation. He will be making me free from all the bondages. He's going to remove all my sorrows, all my sufferings. I'm feeling a lot of power as I feel his rays falling on me. I feel embraced. I feel blissful. I thank him for all these things that he has given me. I would always be in his company. I will always look upon him for all my problems. I will share everything with him, because now I have a very close relation with the Supreme Father, my Father. Om Shanti. Om Shanti. Om Shanti. Thank you so much. And we will be discussing many things in our next sessions. And we just had the experience of God and how we can make lot of relations, how we can experience lot of relations with God. And we have got another entity to be discussed, the time. What about the time? What is the destiny? And how the whole thing works. So there are going to be other sessions, and we will be taking so many, and we'll be discussing other aspects of how the things move in the world. So just keep watching. And we'll see you back again in another session. Om Shanti. Thank you.